You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Hello, friends. Hello, family. We're all family here. Welcome to the Political Cesspool. Saturday, March 15th, spring is nearly upon us here in the Southland. I'm your host, James Edwards. Keith Alexander in here with me tonight. And when Keith got to the studio this evening, he brought with him a large, thin and crispy pizza from Pizza Hut. Half of the pizza is veggie lovers. Half is meat lovers. You can guess which side is on... which is Keith's side and which is my side here as we have it split across the broadcast table here at WLRM Studios. So we're eating while doing the show. That doesn't happen often, but it's live radio, so you never know what's going to happen. I want to start out the show tonight, though, taking a point of personal privilege, if I may, and if you'll indulge me, ladies and gentlemen. Whenever the opportunity is presented to us to share some time with friends of the program, people who listen to our show, we like to make ourselves available. And I'm going to let Keith tell you about the time we had yesterday with a young couple from Missouri. I have known this couple. They've been listening to the show since day one. They've been listening to it since 2004. One of the people that were there with us from the very beginning, founding listeners, if you will. And they are just all American as the day is long. I can't possibly say enough about this family. Now, again, the reason I like to share this with you is because I want you to have an idea of the caliber of people that listen to this show. It always amazes us. It never ceases to mesmerize us, the caliber of the people who make this show their voice in the mainstream media. So we met with this couple yesterday. They were on their way to Nashville from central Missouri, made a pit stop in Memphis, and Eddie and I and my wife and Keith went out to lunch with them, and then we toured around Memphis for a little while and went to Keith's home. They're in their 30s. They have four children. I believe the husband is 36 and the wife is in her early 30s, 30, 31, something like that. Have four amazing boys. They homeschool, they home church, pro-Southern, Christian to the core, agrarians. Folks, all-American doesn't even begin to sum it up. I could go on, but I guess you're getting the idea. And to a man and to a woman, Keith, the people that we've had a chance to meet that have come through Memphis or people we've met at speaking engagements, I don't know if they all stack up to this family because this family's cream of the crop, but they come close and they're all on that level.
Wonderful family. This is a blog poster who goes by the handle Not Your Average Housewife. She's extremely intelligent, originally from West Texas, married to an engineer. They're both in their early to mid-30s. Live in Springfield, Missouri, which is a wonderful area in which to raise a family. 90% population from the founding stock of America, for the most part. And these people are just, very intelligent, very articulate, totally clean-cut, totally straight, arrow, moral people to the core. And they are our typical listeners. We are not the knuckle-dragging troglodytes or the redneck hillbilly types that we are portrayed to be by the likes of the Southern Poverty Law Center. I just wish I could show you a picture of this family because they are absolutely incredible. They are the all-American family. And they made a special trip down here. They made a special detour in their trip. They could have saved a couple of hours off their trip by not coming to Memphis, but they wanted to come to Memphis specifically to meet us, which is a very gratifying, flattering gesture on their part. We really enjoyed seeing all of you, and you're always welcome to come. You're part of our family here at the Political Cesspool, and any of the rest of you that find yourself in the Memphis area, please give James a call, and we will be glad to meet you, treat you to lunch just like we did these people, and show you the city.
Keith, I'm glad you brought up the compare and contrast between ourselves, our friends, our family, our audience, and those who would oppose our message. I saw that Ramsey Paul, who, of course, has been a guest on this show, if people aren't familiar with him, check him out on YouTube, Ramsey Paul. He is a conservative slash libertarian YouTube host, and it's a popular show where he mocks the left, sort of in the same fashion that we do, but he's a little more, uses a little more satire, I guess, a little more humor. But he was targeted by the Southern Poverty Law Center this week as well, and they portrayed him as a gangster wearing a hoodie with a swastika above his head. This guy has no association with anything like that, not at all, nor do we. But here you go again, a guy with no criminal history, working class guy, good guy,
smart guy,
belongs to no political organization. He bans anybody that praises Nazism or neo-Nazism or anything like that on his from commenting on his YouTube posts. And this is how he is portrayed. It's a joke. You know, we've been attacked by these goons for 10 years with similarly false and ludicrous accusations about our show. It's part of the game. Every now and then, sure, you'll find a legitimate group of thugs so-called monitored by the SBLC. But many of the so-called hate groups they list, especially now more than ever, are just normal Christian folks who righteously oppose sodomite marriage or hold traditional American values on certain issues now declared to be taboo by the left. But, I mean, when you have organizations like the Political Cesspool, if anybody has ever met us, they know what we are, they know what we aren't. The American Family Association. You know, when you're listing groups like that and Christian churches that oppose homosexual unions, for goodness sake, as hate groups, as far as I'm concerned, we're as American as motherhood and apple pie. Our audience certainly is, and we're proud of it. You know, the game is up. We've never really concerned ourselves with their libel and slander, but from time to time, as we continue to grow, as we continue to solidify our ranks as a top 10 show for the benefit of those who have come here as curious listeners, perhaps for the first time, on occasion we like to set the record straight. And since Ramsey Paul wrote a great article and a video response to the SBLC's bad behavior and defamation, we thought we would bring that up while talking about the true nature of our audience. Even Sam Bushman, I believe, was able to meet this couple in Missouri. They came out to an event that we had there. My wife and I were in Missouri last year, so Sam will know who we're talking about. And God bless you folks, everybody who listens, those who we've met, those who perhaps we look forward to meeting later this fall at the Political Cesspool's 10-year anniversary celebration. Make plans to be there, folks. It's going to sell out quick. Some of you will be getting either a phone call or a letter from me in the very near future. Share fellowship with those who think right, those who stand for good. And with that, we're going to take a break and we're going to begin the show in earnest. We got a lot to talk about tonight. We got two great guests. And if all goes according to plan, which you never know on live radio, you're going to hear from all four hosts, me, Keith, Eddie, and Winston, before this show's over. Very rare that we all four make appearances, plus two guests. It's going to be busy. Stay tuned.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
It's March into savings time at veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy. Are you prepared to save serious greenbacks before St. Patrick's Day? All Mountain House freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans, meats, entrees, and vegetables are now 20% off only at freezedryguy.com. These are long-lasting foods for emergency preparedness food storage with a guaranteed 25-year shelf life. These are easy foods for your camping, hunting, backpacking, and sailing adventures. These are delicious, nutritious foods, freeze-dried to lock in the taste, aroma, and freshness. And they're all now 20% off only at freezedryguy.com. This Mountain House food discount cannot be applied to other items currently on sale. But as always, you get free shipping from the Freeze-Dry Guy within the lower 48 states. For more information, call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. March into savings, 20% off, now through Sunday, March 16th, only at freezedryguy.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right, there's a free scientific test you can take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
I definitely loathe revisiting a topic that we covered in the previous show, unless there's a new development concerning that story. But this additional government program intended to redistribute wealth from the hands of the taxpayers into the pockets of the black community, more welfare, more socialism. My brother's keeper, we talked about it last week in the context of, yes, just another radical redistribution of wealth. The irony is that Obama doesn't even keep after his own brother who lives in a hut in Nairobi. And also the fact that CNN hailed this as Obama finally acting like a black president, finally doing something for his people. I'd love to hear a commentator praise the next, you know, white senator or congressman who does something for his people or acts like a white man. You know, you're not ever going to hear that. A classic double standard, of course, and that's how we addressed it last week. Well, I was rereading this story, and I want to get on just for a moment, Keith. We won't cover this extensively since, as of course, we covered it last week already, but just the mentality of modern-day Americans. You know, certainly it's not your grandfather's America anymore for any number of reasons, but the work ethic and the mentality of what government is supposed to do for people and what people are supposed to do for themselves. Here's what Obama said when introducing my brother's keeper. Obama said, "No excuses. Government and private sector and philanthropy and all the faith communities have a responsibility to provide you with the tools you need. We've got to help you knock down some of the barriers that you experience." And he's talking about, of course, urban black youths in his statement. And My Brother's Keeper, which he announced is, in his words, an initiative to help young men and boys of color succeed. So, of course, Keith, he's saying that everyone, not just the government, but private sector, philanthropy, churches, they all got to kick in to raise more money to solve the problem of black success and so on and so forth. I guess my first reaction was, if trillions of dollars haven't nipped it in the bud yet, I don't see what one more government plan's going to do. Blacks already receive race-based preferences in hiring and school admissions thanks to the so-called affirmative action programs, quotas, and set-asides. If you can't succeed after receiving such advantages, then perhaps there's an internal problem that no socialist scheme is going to fix. Whites are the ones who are discriminated against in the media and in the public and private sectors. Of that, there can be no rational objection. And furthermore, and Obama talked about the fact that well over half of the black children today are born without a father in the home. Whose problem, whose fault is that? That's a shame, but is that my fault that the black illegitimacy rate is so high? I can't make a black man care for the kids that he fathers. Can you? And black kids, he talked about the shame that so many black kids end up in jail or expelled from school. Well, guess what, buddy? You wouldn't end up in jail or expelled from school if you didn't commit crimes or act unruly. You know, it makes sense, right? So here's the thing, Keith, blaming everybody, blaming society, blaming everybody for the failures of people. I grew up, even born in 1980, I grew up, my parents and grandparents instilled in me that you had to work for things. The government wasn't going to give you things. And if you succeeded or failed in life, it was based primarily upon the amount of effort and determination you put into the things that you do. But again, the biggest hypocrisy here, you know, Obama and his own brother, we won't even get into that again. But I don't even know where to start. There's so many things you could sink your teeth into with this one.
Well, there are so many things, but all I'd like to sink into is this. What happened to judging people by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin? Why do we have a color-coded program initiated by the government, by none other than the president himself, that is focused on race? I thought we were supposed to be in the post-racial era once Obama was elected, and that we weren't going to be talking about race all the time. Of course, what has happened is just the opposite. We talk more about race in the Obama presidency than we did in any three presidencies before. It's amazing, and you would think that things would have gotten better once you had a black president for black people, but if you listen to the media and if you listen to the president, things are as bad as ever and have probably gotten worse over the past 6 or 7 years.
Summation, folks, here it is. Obama, in announcing My Brother's Keeper, laments the illegitimacy rate of the black community, the fact that so many black children are expelled from school, the fact that so many black young black men are incarcerated, and it's everybody's fault and everybody's responsibility except the individuals themselves. But the way we're going to fix it is one more government program. It's always just one more radical socialist initiative is going to fix it all. And he talked about the hundreds of millions of dollars that needs to be raised to get this thing off the ground and who had kicked into it thus far. It's just, it's a fool's errand. It's not going to work. It's not even intended to work. I don't even think Obama believes it's going to work. It's just another way to take money from the producers and give it to the people who won't. And I'm not saying all blacks won't, but again, why not everybody, black, white, whatever, why not all have the same work ethic? Go out there, and don't tell me this racist thing. You know, racism is not holding blacks back. We already know that they are mandated to have preferential treatment. Equal opportunity for all, special privileges for none doesn't exist in this country, and it's not because the whites are at the top of the totem pole. It's the exact opposite. But that's My Brother's Keeper for you. That's what it's doing. All right, now, if that wasn't bad enough for you, I got one. Following the template set in California a couple of months ago, and we talked about this, New York City now has guidelines for transgender students. And these guidelines could see boys and girls forced to share hotel rooms based upon the gender with which they identify rather than their anatomical structure. And how could anyone read a story like this and agree to go along with such so-called guidelines? But here it is. New York City. In new guidelines to public schools on transgendered students, the nation's largest school district has children among its more than 1 million students may end up sleeping in the same hotel rooms as members of the opposite sex and use the same locker rooms and restrooms. This was sent in to me by Bill in Kentucky. In a new set of guidelines that closely mirrors those seen in the state of California, the New York Department of Education has published the rules on how school administrators should treat transgender students. Now, first of all, how many kids, you know, elementary school kids, are transgender? I mean, think about it when you were going to school. How many said, oh, yeah, well, there's the transgender one? I mean, none. That's a decision that people make as they get older. But And it's a sick one. And it wouldn't happen very much at all if it wasn't so glamorized by the media. Among the guidelines related to locker rooms, overnight field trips, etc., transgender students are to be provided the same opportunities to participate in physical education as are other students. And generally, students should be permitted to participate in accordance with the student's gender identity. So again, it's whatever you feel. And it just goes on and on and on. This is a pretty long article, and it's going to be posted at thepoliticalcesspool.org this coming week. So be sure to check that out. But it's just, you know, what can you say about this? I mean, stories like this are so ludicrous that you can barely muster enough of an intelligent response to take it, I guess. I mean, it's serious because it's happening, but I mean, what can you possibly say in response to something like this except to say it's sick and perverted nonsense? Any parent who sends their kids to a school with such a policy should have their heads examined. You know, and I'm saying that bluntly, but also that's as nicely as I can say it. And again, I mean, come on. How many children are really transgender? Meaning that they – and what does it mean to be a transgender student? That means that you are a person or someone, a kid, whatever age, that – pretends to be the opposite sex despite their physical anatomy. That's what it means to be transgender. You are pretending to be something else. But now you can pretend that, and you're going to go to the locker room of your choice. You can sleep in the hotel with the sex of your choosing. And this is a law. I mean, you know, these, you know, kids need deep psychological therapy. They need something more than facilitation. This is sick. I mean, what the hell happened to America? We're going to take a break.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key.
Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. We mentioned one of America's most prominent hate groups earlier in the show, the Southern Poverty Law Center. But I would say, in my opinion, the first and foremost hate group in the United States is, without question, the ironically named Anti-Defamation League. The extreme far-left ADL has endorsed a new movie entitled Son of God as the antidote to Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ. You can remember, I believe it was about 10 years ago, around the time their show started, when Mel Gibson released Passion of the Christ. It was an excellent movie, biblically sound as far as I'm concerned. And the ADL... A little background. It was literally founded, and Kyle Rogers wrote this on the Council of Conservative Citizens website. It was literally founded to defend convicted child murderer Leo Frank, who was a leader of B'nai B'rith. The original purpose of the ADL was to advocate a conspiracy theory that a black man was the real killer and that Frank had been unfairly convicted because he was Jewish. Also, you know, believe it or not, the ADL, it could be argued, is the most prominent Holocaust denial organization in America. It lobbied Congress to stop a resolution condemning the mass murder of Armenian and Greek Christians by the Turks. The group downplays and belittles the victims of mass genocide in Turkey and the Ukraine and other places, except for, of course, those in World War II Germany. Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ grossed nearly $1 billion worldwide with a production budget of just $30 million. It was the most commercially successful R-rated movie in history, and Mel Gibson was its sole investor. But the ADL said that the Bible saga Son of God will be the antidote to the poison that Passion of the Christ became. The ADL National Director Abe Foxman said on Tuesday, "It's a disservice to Son of God to compare the two. It's been 10 years since Passion of the Christ debuted, and it is still the highest-grossing R-rated movie ever, but it's remembered for its anti-Semitism, excessive violence, and pre-release controversy, as much as its near half-a-billion-dollar box office haul." So, cutting through the baloney, Keith, why does the ADL really hate Passion of the Christ?
Because it's pro-Christian, and because it tells the truth about the Passion of Christ, which was the people that really were responsible for the crucifixion of Christ, Jesus Christ, who is our God as a Christian, he is your God, were not the Romans. It was the Jewish religious hierarchy of the time, headquartered in Jerusalem, headed up by Caiaphas. Pontius Pilate was more or less like a Walmart manager. Palestine was his particular Walmart. He was responsible for turning a profit there. He reported to Sam Walton, otherwise known as Caesar, residing in faraway Fayetteville, Arkansas, otherwise known as Rome, Italy, at the time. And he was responsible, just like a Walmart manager, for having a profitable operation. The one thing that could really eat into your profits, if you were a governor of a Roman province, was having revolts against the authority, the established Roman authority, or, you know, and the Romans were very good about sharing power with the indigenous population, first of all. And secondly, they were also extremely tolerant of the host people's religion. As long as you recognized Rome's authority in temporal matters and paid taxes, you could pursue your religion. Well, the biggest problem province of them all in the Roman Empire was Palestine. And it was the problem province because the Jews were so obstreperous and so problematical. they would get in a fight with a brass doorknob. They'd get in an argument with one. And they would just, they were always either revolting or threatening to revolt. That's the background of the Passion of Jesus Christ. The Jewish authorities wanted him executed for heresy. He had proven himself to be a real threat to their authority by driving the money changers out of the temple. That was where he stopped preaching and started meddling, as they used to say in the old churches around Memphis, Tennessee back in the day. And when he started meddling, that's when Caiaphas and the religious leaders of the Jewish faith in headquartered in Jerusalem at that time decided he had to go. Well, they were basically making a veiled threat to Pontius Pilate that if Pontius Pilate didn't have him executed, the Jews were going to revolt. And the Jews revolted numerous times, both before this and after it. And Pontius Pilate tried to use psychology on them because he said, I'll have a trial. He had the trial. He said, I see nothing that this man has done wrong. And the Jewish crowd hollered, let him be crucified. Now, Pontius Pilate goes one step further. He said, well, this is a feast day, and I can pardon one prisoner. Now, who would you rather me pardon? Barabbas, the worst guy in the jailhouse, or Jesus, whom you call Christ? They said, give us Barabbas. And he answered them and said, well, then what should I do with Jesus? And they said, let him be crucified. At this point, Pontius Pilate was totally exasperated and disgusted with the Jewish population. He publicly washed his hands in front of them and said, I wash my hands of this innocent man's blood. But on the other hand, he knew he'd have to go through with the crucifixion, or else what would the consequences be? There would be a big revolt. Rome and the emperor would have to send over legions of Roman soldiers to quell the rebellion. And sooner or later, Pontius Pilate was going to be summoned to Rome to answer questions about what brought on this revolt. And he would have to answer, well, there's this one guy that the Jewish religious authorities wanted me to execute, but I thought he was innocent, so I didn't execute him. What would Sam Walton's response be? What would Caesar's response be? What Caesar said would have said, just as Sam Walton would have said now, is, you got to be kidding me. In other words, we spent billions of dollars to send troops, or the equivalent of billions of dollars, to your province, and there are thousands of dead people as a result, and it was all because you refused to sacrifice one man to quell this mob. What type of leader are you? I must have made a big mistake in putting you in charge. And Pontius Pilate would probably be the next person executed. So that's the dilemma he found himself in. And, you know, even after sacrificing Jesus, you had the Maccabean revolt, you had all these other revolts. Finally, in AD 70, the Romans had had a bellyful of the Jews in Palestine. They said, you people are effing crazy. We can't allow you to have your own nation. We're not going to be so cruel as to execute all of you, but we are going to disperse you. We're going to tear down your temple, which they did in AD 70, tore down the Jewish temple, and disperse you throughout the Roman Empire so that you're no longer a majority wherever you live. That's the so-called diaspora, the dispersion of the Jewish people in AD 70 by the Roman authorities. And the Romans, I know this won't be popular with a lot of people to say it, but the Romans had very good reasons for doing what they did, because the Jewish population in Palestine had proven time and time again that they were the biggest troublemakers in the entire Roman Empire, James.
Well, Keith, and a lot of what you were just talking about was portrayed in Passion of the Christ. And, you know, the bottom line is, if the ADL is endorsing a movie, any decent person, any Christian needs to just stay away from it. I know this Son of God is billed as a pro-Christian movie, but if it's gotten the ADL's endorsement, they have undoubtedly watered it down and made it so politically, if it's so politically correct, the ADL can endorse it, it's not worth your $8 or $12 for a movie ticket, whatever it is in your local area.
I think it's even worse than that. It's probably totally misportraying the situation as being all the Romans and the poor innocent Jews are up there crying for Jesus to be spared or something. You know, that's probably what they're trying to do. But, you know, and fundamentalist Christians have apparently drunk Kool-Aid. A lot of them, there's this movement called Jewish dispensationalism, televangelists like John Hagee at the forefront of it, that says that the Jews, the current day Jews, are the chosen people of God still. And they even believe in a dual covenant. Everyone except Jews has to believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior in order to be saved, except for Jews. This is some type of heretical doctrine that unfortunately has taken root in a lot of Christian churches today. Now, the truth of the matter is that the original and the most obdurate enemies of the Christian faith for the over two millennium that we have had the Christian faith have been the Jews. And that's the way it is. That, you know, if you look, for example, right now at all these groups that are against Christmas, they're not headed by Muslims. They're headed up by Jews. Look at the Jewish names, folks. The truth will set you free.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare. The war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Quick departure before we see what Peter Scoop Stanton has lined up for us this evening. I want to give you a split-second update on the state of our first quarter fundraising drive. It is still, well, I'll put it this way. I'll put it in terms as if our fundraising efforts were a patient in the hospital. Last week, we would have been a patient in critical condition in the ICU ward on in a coma on life support. That's where we were last week. Today, we're still in ICU, no doubt about it, but at least we can breathe on our own, but we're not nearly out of the woods. We're not even in the step-down unit yet, folks. We are gotten off to a slow start this first quarter. I'm not sure why. Maybe all of our contributors are on spring break, and they'll be back next week, and we'll get back on top of the game, but it's much more than a gimp in the get-along. So we need your help. It'll take about 2 minutes for you to go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a contribution to this show, the effects of which will be long felt. You know, we talked about it last week, what it takes for us to do this radio program, to host it for a year. Our annual budget is less than a kid working at McDonald's would make working the drive-thru full-time. So, you know, we are, without question, frugal stewards of our resources, and we stretch every penny to the max. And I'll give you another example, another scenario. If you were comparing the miracle of the political cesspool, and we talked about this last week, if you were comparing miracles, the first miracle is through the grace of God and through the benevolence of our audience, based on a annual budget of $20,000 approximately, you have built a nationally syndicated show that's top 10 rated, talking about the issues that are our signatures, versus God parting the water for Moses to pass. I think ours is a greater miracle. Not to be blasphemous. I mean, it's a toss-up. You know, doing what we do with our budget and becoming so world-renowned and the parting of the Red Sea, it's you know, take your pick. It's pick 'em. They're both right there, I think, with one another. And, folks, you've done that for us. We need you right now. For those who have already contributed, God bless you. All right? For those who will, God bless you. If you've already contributed this month, you've contributed this quarter, you know, don't worry about it. You've done your part. 1% of our audience contributes, and we need that 1%. We're grateful for the people who are tuned in from all over the world. We're getting bigger and better every week. Every little bit helps. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. We've got some great incentives, including the incredible epic book, Race in the American Prospect, and some other incentives. Go and contribute tonight. And again, thanks to those of you who have already done so. We've got some big plans for this year, especially this fall for the 10-year anniversary party in October, man. It's going to be good, but we got to get there. I think we will. Don't let me down. Peter Scoop Stanton, what do you got for us tonight?
Good evening, James, Keith, and the rest of the Cesspool family.
Good evening.
Well, it's St. Patrick's Day weekend, and you know what that means. This is the one time of the year every dumpy, pasty, white Irish girl can have a short-term relationship with a gentleman in a men's room stall.
Hey,
okay.
There's nothing too distasteful for the political. It's the political cesspool, I mean.
Right. And now, to piggyback on what you said, is that for the cesspool listeners, just to let everybody know, behind closed doors and the mics are off, James told me one day while we're talking is that he hates fundraising, he hates passing around the hat, but it's what we have to do. Since my short time on the radio, I've learned a lot of things. Radio is a dirty business. A lot of these major syndicated talk show hosts, they do what's known as pay to play. A lot of these stations now, instead of selling advertising rates for excellent programming, they just sell airtime in blocks, and then major syndicated shows will buy those blocks, and then they make their revenue by selling time on their syndicated show. But people, we know times are tough, but we need your help. Now, when you pick up a phone and you have to press one for English, blame yourself. When you're contracting and your firm does not get a contract because you don't have the right amount of minorities, blame yourself because you didn't donate to the political cesspool. When you didn't get that job or that promotion because of affirmative action, blame yourself because you didn't donate to the political cesspool. Now, if you donate to the political cesspool, is your life going to turn around? No, but what we do, we are the Paul Revere of modern-day conservatism. Last week I talked about CPAC. There's no conservative there, Sands and Coulter. So we need your help.
Now, well, Scoop, I greatly appreciate your zeal, my friend, and I know you came on not intending to say that, and you're doing it out of the love and graciousness of your heart, and I appreciate it. I mean, you know, and the thing is, yeah, we thought you're going to talk about a Chuck E. Cheese drunk fest. That's what we were girding our loins for. But no, seriously, listen, brother, I appreciate it, and as you said, you know, contributing to the show, we're not going to change everything, especially overnight. But it is important that our people have a voice. And this network provides that voice. This show provides that voice. And you look at what we've done with so little. You know, I look at the other people that are in the top 10 with us here tonight. And it's just, you know, if we had their budget, you know, seven-figure budget, you know, we would take over the world. I say that partly in jest. But you look at what we've done with so little. If we had a budget comparable to that of our contemporaries and our peers in here in the top 10. And I'm talking about Mark Levin, Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, John Gibson, Dennis Miller, Sean Hannity, Alex Jones. You know, if we had that type of budget, these are the people who we share company with in terms of the ratings. If we had that kind of budget, folks, think about it. You know, just think about it. Dare to dream. It could happen.
Of course, the reason we don't is that the mainstream is doing everything it can to choke us off the airwaves. We're getting by on a shoestring, and we're popular because we say things that others fear to say. We walk in where others fear to tread, and we tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And there's still a market for that, but you've got to make us stronger so we can get the message out to more people.
And I tell you, we're not asking you to do anything we don't do, folks. We all contribute to this show. I've made two contributions to the show this month, the same I'm asking you to do. And I tell you, you know, here's a glaring example, Scoop and Keith. I don't know if there's another show in the country this week that has talked about this particular story. You know, organizations, college chapters such as the Youth for Western Civilization, which is implicitly a pro-white group. It seeks to celebrate Western civilization, which is, of course, a white phenomenon. Well, there is a college group in that bastion of intellectual superiority, South Puget Sound Community College, called the Diversity Happy Hour. And they have publicly said that no whites are invited to or would be welcomed in their discussions or their group efforts. So there can be officially sanctioned college groups that are organized to represent the interest of any race, ethnicity, or sexual orientation you can imagine, except for heterosexual white people, of course. Now, that's old news. But this group publicly claims that whites are not allowed to join or participate in their events. The director or organizer of this group, a black woman by the name of Karama Blackhorn, interestingly enough, she's the program coordinator for the school's Diversity and Equity Center. No diversity in her group, though. And she doubled down when asked, you know, why white people can't join the discussion. This space is not for white people. It's for people of color. And of course, this group meets to, what are they here to talk about? They want to talk about white supremacy and white privilege. And so white people aren't. I mean, first of all, I would ask why any healthy white person would want to go to such a browbeaten session in the first place. As far as I'm concerned, the black kids were trying to do the white kids a favor by banning them. But the point is, you hear all these national news stories about something as innocuous as Youth for Western Civilization, because Western civilization implicitly implies white, and it becomes national news stories. They're branded as Nazis and anything but what they truly are, of course. We know something about that, but here is a group that says whites cannot come. They're not welcome. They can't come talk. They can't come join. I don't know any other show that talked about it this week. Scoop, your take.
Well, what do you expect from the left? I mean, I don't know if Puget Sound is a publicly funded university, but that's what you get. I mean, and we just sit back and just take it. And then because we want to see who's in the NCAA playoffs, who's in the NFL draft. I mean, people, turn off the television and wake up. I mean, yours truly is working to barely get his family by on two salaries in a metropolitan, major metropolitan area. I mean, just wake up. And then if anybody has children at school who's also a listener or just a Caucasoid, get them the hell out of that school and find a different
school. Well, you need to protest, Scoop, if you have children going to that school and saying, why are my tax dollars being used to support a group that openly discriminates on the basis of race. See, that's what, and people are not just distracted by sports. They are scared to death to speak out, to speak the truth to power. That's what we specialize in here at this political cesspool, and that's why we need your support.
And we do it together in cooperation with a loving audience, an audience that we love. I tell you, folks, to say you're family, and we talk about family, that's when we're calling our little get-together this fall, later this year, a family reunion, a celebration, an anniversary for 10 years on the air, 10 years of toiling in the vineyards. We've done something special here. I want to see it continue. Thank you, Scoop, for your contribution tonight. We'll be back with a second and third hour as the political cesspool rolls on tonight. Ted Pike up next. You don't want to miss that.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.